In New Hampshire, an extraordinary impeachment trial is about to enter its third week. The state's most powerful judge, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court David Brock, faces four articles of impeachment. New Hampshire Public Radio's Trish Anderton has more.
At first glance, this might look like an open and shut case. Brock and several other members of the court admit all justices were allowed to take part in case conferences, even those who were disqualified because of conflicts of interest. Joseph Steinfeld is the lead attorney for the House of Representatives, which brought the case against Brock. Steinfeld says the policy subverted the whole idea of disqualification.
A disqualified judge may not participate. Out is out. But here, the disqualified justices did participate, and there came a time when Chief Justice Brock has to have known that the practice was infecting the judicial requirement of impartiality.
The justices say recused members generally commented on grammar and punctuation and never tried to sway the outcomes of cases. But Stephen Lubet, an ethics expert from Northwestern University, testified that since the court's writings are closely studied and interpreted by later generations, even small changes can make a big difference.
When you're talking about judicial opinions, which are the sort of the most powerful words or among the most powerful words written in state government, I think it is a false dichotomy to say that one can suggest style and grammar and think that that is hermetically sealed from outcome.
But the New Hampshire Senate, which is sitting as a jury, doesn't just have to decide whether the policy was unethical. It has to decide whether to punish Brock for it, and that appears to be an uphill battle for the House prosecutors. Brock's lawyers argue the practice was already in place when the Chief Justice took office in 1986, and they say the prosecution can't prove it did any real damage. Lead attorney Michael Madigan.
There is not one case. Where this recusal practice altered the outcome of a case. It did not happen, and the chief should not be impeached for a practice that he inherited that did not affect one decision in the New Hampshire Supreme Court.
Brock's defense team has focused on attacking the prosecution's star witness, former Justice Stephen Thayer. Thayer resigned earlier this year under an ethical cloud of his own. He faced prosecution for allegedly pressuring Chief Justice Brock to remove a judge from Thayer's own divorce case. Thayer claims the Chief Justice approached him in a hallway at the court and asked him who to appoint. If Thayer's story is true, it would be very damaging to Brock, but the defense argues Thayer invented the conversation in an effort to destroy his old boss. In a painful afternoon of testimony, defense lawyer Stephen Ross forced Thayer's closest friend on the court, Sherman Horton, to admit he'd warned the Chief Justice about Thayer.
His animosity towards the chief was such that had led you to take the step of going to the chief and telling him that...
Right.
That Steve speaks vindictively about him, that he's disturbed, that he's really got something penned up against you.
Right.
And he may be out to get you or something like that.
It was something like that. It was a heads up to the chief, right.
Thayer denies holding a grudge, but he concedes his messy divorce often left him upset and agitated. Meanwhile, other justices and court employees have rallied around the Chief Justice. The impeachment trial will likely wrap up within the next few days. Brock is expected to take the stand in his own defense. For NPR News, I'm Trish Anderton in Concord, New Hampshire.